Magic 107.5, 97.5, Atlanta's best mix of R&B with Carole Blackman. I am honored today to have with me the incredible lineage, if you will, of Black Moses. Yes, Isaac Hayes. Ike Dirty Hayes. Did I get that right?
Isaac Hayes III, Ike Dirty, either way.
Either way you say it, you come on, it's time for dinner. You come into the house, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And Heather Hayes.
Hi.
And I have a little bit of a profile on you, and then Heather's going to have to share some of hers with us because we were kind of prepared with you, Mr. Mm-hmm. Ike Dirty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's see. You are a producer,
yes.
Pretty much.
Music producer.
Music producer. And you can identify songs and where they really originated from.
Sometimes with my musical ear, yes.
But let's talk about, really, I guess, your dad. Stax Records songwriter, producer, a.k.a. Black Moses,
mm-hmm.
singer, actor, songwriter, voiceover artist.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that until today, that he actually helped pen Soul Man.
Yeah, no, him and David Porter wrote that together.
I did not realize that.
And I'm glad. That's what Unsung is going to do for him. A lot of people are going to learn a lot about Isaac Hayes that they didn't know.
Absolutely. Yeah. Even the folks that thought they knew enough,
mm-hmm.
me included, but you and even because of being a fan, you mm-hmm. just feel that you're kind of intimate enough with his information. And when somebody said, "Oh, you know that, you know the Soul Man song," and I was like, "No, that's Sam and Dave."
Yeah.
I said, "No, he helped pen that song."
That's how he started out. He was a writer producer before he became an artist.
Did not know
he did
that.
Some stuff on Carla Thomas too before that.
Yeah.
See, that, some folks don't even know who
B-A-B-Y,
Carla Thomas is.
Trust me, I wouldn't have known if it wasn't for my dad. But that was kind of his first, you know, writing experience, him and David Porter was her.
And he also scored Shaft and won an Oscar for the movie's theme song. So he was the recipient of one Oscar and multi-Grammy.
The first Oscar for an African-American composer.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, welcome to Magic 107.5, 97.5. I'm so glad to have you both here.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, and so tonight kicks off this season's premiere of Unsung, mm-hmm. and it's a new night, by the way, so you all didn't miss it. You didn't miss it last night or a few nights ago, but it's tonight at 10 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
and it's all about your dad. Now, like you said, give me some of the other little nuggets without giving it all away that we're going to probably be surprised to know and hear about.
Let me see.
I mean, I know that's your dad, so for you all, you know already.
Yeah, I don't want to give too much away on the show.
Not too much, but just give us a little bit.
This is probably not on this show, but he was a self-taught musician primarily.
I didn't know that.
He didn't have any professional training. He just learned by ear to play. So he became a composer and arranger strictly off just God-given talent.
Wow. Now, is that the way you do it as well?
Yeah. I went to band. I mean, I was in high school. You know, I took band. I played saxophone, trombone, drums, and stuff like that. A little keyboard.
Yes, he switched like every year.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
But, you know.
Heather's like, telling on you.
I'm a Gemini. We're
going to do your Unsung right now, too.
So he was self-taught musician, so that's one thing that I think people won't realize.
I think that's pretty much a surprise for most.
I'm not sure that he could actually read music when he composed Shaft either.
Yeah.
Really?
He couldn't. He had an arranger.
Like that I guess he could hum it or kind of pick it out. But
and they could do it for him.
They transpose it.
Yeah.
He had an arranger help him out.
What was it like growing up in the Hayes household?
I can say this. I get this question asked all the time. We do. It's just normal. You know what I mean? Like, if you were...
But is it really normal or just you're normal? Tell the truth about
that. No, I mean, it's both. Honestly, it was both.
Okay.
I mean, you know, it's your normal because you don't know. You only know the experience
Anything
from
else.
The inside out.
Yeah.
So if you grow up that way, that's the way you grow up. But, I mean, you know, it wasn't crazy. I mean, for me, I was little. She was around, like, 5 years. I don't want to give her age away if she don't want me to. But just had a birthday. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Heather.
We were normal kids. You had friends, played, went to school. You know, if you got
I
in trouble.
I think people always ask that question, though, and you don't see your parent like the rest of the world sees him. He's punishing us and your own punishment and spank you. And, you know,
but
those
with
types
them traveling
of things,
so much and performing so much.
But I think the thing about it is when you are born into a situation like that, you don't know anything other than that situation.
No.
It doesn't become... You know,
unique
you don't,
to you. Yeah.
It doesn't become different to you until maybe you get older and you have friends and you're like, oh, well, their parent comes home at 5. And you really don't realize it until much later. So that's your normal kind of existence. It just wasn't anything different, I think, for us at all.
So when did you realize, though, in spite of the household and the home life being normal, that, wow, my dad is famous. This is Isaac Hayes. And, you know, people pay decent money to go see him. And you know what I mean? When did you kind of realize who he was to other folks?
I think I kind of grasped it not till I was preteen.
Really?
Like 11.
Yeah.
Really got it then.
Yeah, because you go out and you see your people like come up to your dad and say, yeah, it's like different.
Yeah.
You know, if you go out somewhere to eat and then you're taking pictures with people, like, okay,
we're like, why
different.
Is he taking pictures? That's weird.
It's different.
Right. Yeah.
And then it's kind of, it was irritating. I have to say, for me, it was irritating. I didn't like it at all. No.
You wanted your time with him.
Yes, because we didn't get a lot of time. And some people, now I understand just even looking at Unsung and things like that, how he felt like even through his gift, there is a responsibility of that gift. So he was always really, really gracious. Mm-hmm. But as a kid, you're kind of selfish, like, well, this is my dad time. Yeah. And people don't really think, okay, he has a mouthful of food right now. But, you know, you're sitting in his lap and rubbing his head while he's eating. I'm not understanding that. But, you know, how he was with, you know, his fans and things like that and what he wanted to give back to his community.
Yeah.
I get it now because he was always very, very gracious.
Yeah.
It didn't matter what he was doing, you know. So, I mean, but like 11, you're kind of like, what's the big deal? Yeah. Like, who cares? You know, and that's really how you felt.
Yeah. Same for you, Ike. You said about preteen.
Yeah, because, you know, you're growing up and then you realize it. And, we got to Atlanta when I was young. So I moved here when I was like 3. So I've been here the whole time pretty much. Wow. And, you know, we always had friends. So our friends, like even our friends, we had I had a real multicultural upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had the benefit of going to private school at least till 3rd grade. So all my friends were different races.
Yeah.
So we learned about, you know, just different cultures and everybody going to each other's house and, you know, the Dutch culture and German. And, you know, those were my friends from Australia and other black friends. So it was just like, you know, we just did normal stuff.
I will say this. Like, I remember, I vaguely kind of remember that might have been like, you know, because generally you have slumber parties and things like that. And I remember it vaguely being kind of like very carefully kind of planned, iffy kind of thing. And when I look back, he was never there when I would have like a slumber party or things like that.
So you did it kind of like,
you know, like you didn't really understand why. Now, like, I totally get it now because of the whole privacy thing and things like that. And he was very, very private.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I get about him. Like, this whole Twitter culture and reality, because before he passed away, I was like, well, Dad, you should do a reality TV show. He's like, no.
He would never.
Not his personality. So I get it now because I think they don't really delve into it, into Unsung, but not necessarily treated very fairly or treated like you should treat someone that did what he did for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so I think he got burned.
Wow.
And so the trust level of people was not there.
Yeah.
So I understood that as I got older, like, oh, okay, now I get it. This is why, you know, you're really, really private, really, really insulated and things like that. And I think that's maybe why at a younger age, we didn't really, really realize it because it was a very insulated kind of thing.
So with even being burned sometimes, do you think there even wasn't enough accolades just in general?
You know,
I think a certain generation, my generation, really got it, really appreciated him and his music and just the depth of his music, you know, not just Shaft or, you know, something that touched us.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time I get to Phoenix, what? Shut the front door. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Some of the stuff that, and like you said, even growing up, a multicultural type thing, that would just take you from soul to something that would be considered pop or, you know, just something that
he
we...
He was innovative in that when it comes to R&B music, especially Stax, because he was one of the first people that wanted to use strings and orchestras in R&B music. And people were like, you're crazy. It's not going to work. What are you doing? This is soul music. You're going to mess up and screw it up. And when he came out with Hot Buttered Soul and he did Walk On By and people heard the string arrangement.
See, that's what I mean, all that.
It was different. It was a complete contrast from everything else that was going on in Stax, but it was a quality and a level that reached a pop audience. So it broke through.
So he crossed over long before they even called it.
Crossing over.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So even that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. What do you all miss most about your dad?
Mm, his sense of humor.
I was going to say that.
Completely.
Really? Hilarious.
Always had a joke or a story, but a lesson at the same time.
Mm.
So we could always laugh. You know, we always have guy talks. You know, as a grown man, who I'm dating, what's going on.
Oh, God.
That kind of stuff. You know.
Really? He checked? He checked with you on that?
I mean, that's what, you know, yeah, he definitely, you know, he taught me a lot, for real. Definitely. By example, and just, you know, he was a quality dude. Definitely when it came to, you know, the type of life he lived as far as dating. He wasn't, you know, I guess the way these guys date today.
Totally.
He was never that kind of guy.
Totally different.
Yeah.
And same with you, Heather, you would say his sense of humor?
His humor. And I mean, for me, I always felt like I could kind of just kind of tell him what I thought, you know, like, so just being able to have that just regular kind of conversation, you know, with him, that was just kind of really down to earth and really informative and really, I guess I would say, heartfelt. You know, those kinds of conversations. He was just funny. He was hilarious. He was very, very witty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, just really, really funny.
Yeah.
And just kind of the combination of us together was always a good time.
Good.
So
awesome.
That was always really, really cool. And that's what I missed the most.
So we're going to watch Unsung tonight at 10.
Mm-hmm.
And there are going to be some things, some nuggets, and like you said, some things that we did not know. What perhaps was not included that you wish would have been? Is there something that we don't know about your dad that you want to share? Something else?
I think everything in the episode is, there's enough touched upon, but if you spread it out, it's a movie or a really good documentary where you get into the depth, because I think it's a great, you know, show.
Yeah.
And we like it a lot, but I think there's a lot more. There are a lot more highs and lows that make up who he was.
Yeah.
As far as the way that he was treated and the way people treated him and how he became, that's not in there. So I can't say something that's in there that I wish was. I'm trying to think. I mean,
I wish that in some cases, which you couldn't do it because it's a shorter, it's a short 45-minute show,
right,
basically, the details of a lot of things,
mm-hmm,
you know, because I think a lot of times, especially with Black musicians, and I've seen him do interviews about this, you know, they do touch on the bankruptcy, mm-hmm, but the reason for his bankruptcy is far more complicated than that, and so that goes into how he was taken advantage of.
Yeah.
And, you know, not necessarily treated the best. And you just can't go into detail, mm-hmm, about a lot of those things.
Yeah.
To me, that's the only thing. Just a lot of
just,
details
yeah,
that
yeah,
you really, it's very complicated
yeah,
and it's very complex. But, you know, basically, the bankruptcy wasn't done just because he spent all his money. I'll
mm-hmm
just say that. It just.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing that we definitely, that part, I wanted to make sure that part was in the show, I think, was something that was, you know, highlighted. Because when people say somebody files for bankruptcy, you think they blew all their money on,
right,
you know, cars.
Or
and
at least that's what
houses.
Folks will say. They,
mm-hmm,
yeah,
well, they'll think that, and
think
that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
And it's actually a lot, you know, it's actually a lot deeper. I'm honestly, I probably will, and I'm just going to say this right now, I probably will tweet during the show.
Okay.
During
good
the broadcast, just to fill in some of the gaps.
Okay, good.
You
that's
know,
a great
to,
idea.
Just to expound, if anybody wants to follow me
okay
on Twitter.
And what is your?
It's Isaac Hayes 3 at Isaac Hayes 3. And what's your Twitter?
Heather H. Hayes.
Heather H. Hayes.
Okay.
And so I might, you know, I might throw a couple nuggets in there because
now are we doing three, the number three, or
the
how
number
are we doing
three?
Okay.
Isaac Hayes and the number three.
And Heather
H. Hayes.
Okay.
But I think, you know,
and
I mean, just to fill in some of the gaps,
okay,
because it was difficult for him. It wasn't an easy road to success,
mm-hmm,
and I'll say that some of the people that were involved necessarily didn't want him to succeed,
yeah,
and he did anyway.
Yeah.
You know,
because it
so
wasn't their plan anyway.
Right.
It wasn't up to them.
But
so,
I think that's the lesson in it.
Yeah.
And sometimes I wish, to me as kids, that I would have known that much younger, but he didn't really. That's the one thing that now that I see the Unsung, and there's some things in there that I didn't necessarily know,
mm-hmm,
it's like in a lot of cases, he just didn't defend himself.
Mm-hmm.
He did not speak up.
So why do you think that was, though, Heather? Do you think it was because he's such, it sounds like he's a very humble man.
Yeah.
Very gracious.
Yes.
So because of that, was that just part of who he was? That's his personality?
I think it was part of who he was. And just, you know, really showed a lot of humility and maybe didn't want to make waves or, you know, was just maybe so hurt by it. Because I didn't know that
mm-hmm
he was as hurt by it.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do know is that he just, now that I see all of this stuff, and you can read some books and where
yeah
they really kind of detail it, I was like, he just never defended himself.
Wow.
And that's, you know, and so for, you know, us as children, that's what part of this is about, is, you know, you know, the truth will set you free. Yeah. And people are just not telling the truth. And he deserves, you know, the accolades and people to understand his story. And it might help, especially other people, especially coming from basically nothing.
Yeah. Because
that's what he came from. You know, so I think that the story is important to tell, but you also have to tell the truth. You know what I mean?
And telling the story, absolutely.
Yeah. So I think for us, that's, you know, really important that he gets the accolades he deserves and people really understand the truth of, you know, what happened. And I'm sure that we'll do some things beyond
this. I'm thinking
this.
It would be great, you know, to do a documentary.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Another book, maybe. Mm-hmm. You all do a book, you know, do something, and it's from people that really love him and that know the truth and that are willing to share the truth. What about friends? Did he not have friends that he could trust in his circle?
He had friends, but I mean, he definitely has some loyal friends, but I think with him, he was very trusting, a very trusting guy and extremely generous. I mean, I'm telling you the stuff, some of the things that, you know, like, we hear from time to time.
I heard that, like, back then, there used to be a gas station,
mm-hmm.
and all the employees of his and the band members, they would just go get gas. And it was like $1,000-some, like, the gas bill was astronomical, and he would pay the gas bill for everybody.
They would just charge it to, I'm part of his staff, so I'm just going to. And he never really shut that down. He just allowed it and just, oh, wow.
No.
I mean, there's numerous stories like that I've heard, and I'm like, what? Like,
oh, yeah, I heard one today. Really? Just this morning,
probably going to hear a lot tonight, right?
You hear some stories. You hear a lot of good stories, but like I said, the show is such a brief look, you can't get it all. And the story, I'm telling you, my dad's story is massive. It's great. It's really, really, it's a really, really great story, and you get a glimpse of what it was like and his story. But, you know, it's a way bigger story. Tonight is the night where you get to learn a lot. Okay. You get to learn about what happened with the bankruptcy that you might not know. You get to learn about some songs he might have written. Mm-hmm. You get to learn about South Park and some things with that show.
Yeah.
So you never, you know, you get to learn about Scientology maybe a little.
Yeah.
So you never, you know. You just never know what you're gonna.
Because even the Scientology piece, I'm glad you mentioned that. That's one of those things that I think the eyebrows raise. Probably in our community, maybe not so much other communities. We were like,
well, I think it raised our eyebrows too, actually. So
really?
We used to tease him about it, especially that one right there. Isaac used to tease him. But I've taken a Scientology. I took a Scientology course because he asked me.
He suggested that you take it. Yeah.
Yeah. And generally, when he suggests, you kind of go along with it. So I would, but I mean, it really, just the first course for me, it just was kind of basic things maybe that you're taught when you're really young in your formative years. And if you knew, when you see his story of how he was raised, you'll understand why that might have been important to him.
Okay.
And I will say, in some ways, personally to me, it helped him in some ways. I really feel like it was a positive in some ways for him and a negative in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely a positive in some ways, and people might be surprised, you know, because it's pretty much all you. I think anything is what you get out of it, basically.
Yeah,
you know, but I mean, I don't think any of us in the family were like, okay, Scientologists. We were like, I don't know, you know. So, you know, I just think that it's such a. I agree with Isaac. It's such a vast, complicated story that we'll have to do something.
Yeah,
else.
This is just the
tip of the iceberg, at this point. But you do get to see some things, in there that. You know, people probably had no idea about.
So, question for both of you, and then we're going to wrap up. What do you hope are some of the biggest takeaways, or the biggest takeaway after we see your dad's story tonight?
The type of quality artist he was, in an era that was, you know, a little sexual, a lot of drugs and things like that, and the type of guy he was, because In observing that, I learned more about who I am, me as...
Yeah, and you're like, that's
I
where...
I do that because
there
was probably 3 or 4 moments in the show where it's like, oh, okay, the reason I wear loud colors is because he likes to do that.
Yeah, that's true.
So you just
hear
got
that,
it.
When
honest,
you hear that kind
yeah.
of stuff. So it's like, wow. So I know where I get it from a lot more.
Yeah.
But I mean, he was a quality artist in the sense, like, it wasn't, you know, there wasn't a lot of controversy involved with Isaac Hayes, except outside of maybe when he decided to do Scientology. But outside of that, he wasn't like, you know, it's nothing crazy.
Right, no high maintenance and drama.
No.
So now, would you say your dad was a perfectionist? You sound like, you know, it may be somewhere in there. Yeah, he was.
He definitely was. I mean, you know, he cared a lot about music, extremely creative, you know, and wanted to get, you know, quality music out there.
So yeah, yeah.
Definitely.
So what do you hope the takeaway is, Heather, when we see your dad's story tonight?
I really hope that it inspires a lot of people, because I think with our generation, we really don't get that we have it easy.
That's
very
true.
We have it much easier than they did. And I just hope the takeaway is that if you, you know, have a desire or a dream, if you are passionate about it and you work hard for it, you know, those dreams do come true, because there's just, it's just kind of no excuse, you know, actually. Because I remember before he passed away, and this isn't in there, but he took me to the Sax Museum. It's a museum now, but he took me into a room, I guess, where they record.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this little like metal thing in the corner. And I'm like, what is that? And he's like, that's the heater. And I was like, for this big room, that's the heater for the entire, like the room was huge. And then he said, we didn't have any air conditioning.
So when they were recording in the summer, that was...
And you ask some of these people right now to record with no AC, it will not happen.
Or come and do an interview in the cold.
What? Exactly.
Or in the rain.
Exactly. Right. Won't happen.
Come on, let's be real. Yeah, it's not going
to
happen.
And so I just think that, you know, people need to understand that he believed in what he did. He really wanted to help his community.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just, to me, all around, you know, nice guy, you know, that, you know, the industry kind of can chew you up and spit you out, you know what I mean? And I think sometimes that kind of can destroy people, but you know, and probably one of the most determined people that I know.
So when you see, like what Isaac was saying, he kind of gets some of the, he's connecting some of the dots and saying, oh, that's why I do or wear.
I think
if you kind of got
the flamboyant dress is definitely me. Yeah.
Okay.
It's definitely the colors and things like that, which was hilarious, which I didn't, like I said, some of the things I didn't know because we look at him as dad.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I do see the dressing part, the colors and things like that.
The bright colors.
Yes.
You know, you don't want to change anything, do you?
No.
And I'm a little bit quieter, which is funny. It's almost like we switch personalities because I'm a little bit, my father was kind of quiet and I am.
I go all day.
Yes.
Talk it though.
Yeah. So I think I get that, you know, that kind of quiet kind of thing. But turn it on when you need to turn it on. But he was still a little bit more quiet.
But you guys got the best part of him, you know.
Yes.
Like they say, the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree.
Definitely.
So, yeah. Well, wow, we appreciate your time today. I have really enjoyed chatting with you all about your dad. And we can check it out tonight, 10 o'clock. On TV One, it's the season premiere kickoff and Wednesday nights, okay? That's the night you can now catch Unsung. Thank you both so much. And you're going to...
One more thing.
Yeah.
I'm having a watch party for the show this evening, too, at Bar One.
Oh, okay.
We're doing it a little bit early.
Okay.
Before the broadcast, so it's at 9. Well, it's at 7, from 7 to 10.
Okay.
And so we'll be showing Unsung a little bit early before everybody else will get to check it out. You're invited if you'd like to come. But it's at Bar One here in Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay. And so starting at 7.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then it actually will broadcast at 10. Awesome. And you'll be tweeting. You'll be tweeting during it as well?
Yes, I'll tweet,
okay.
Yes.
All right. And you can follow both Isaac and Heather at Isaac Hayes 3, the number 3, and Heather H. Hayes on Twitter.
Yep.
Thank you both.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Thanks a lot.
All the best.